we've been talking about the significance test, and so that's what we're going to hit and we're going to highlight again today. And so far we've talked about how, you know, the whole thing about significance is a desire to have meaning, a purpose, or worth, and there's nothing wrong with that. The dangerous thing is when we try to get that meaning, purpose, or worth through things outside of God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10, and we'll start here at verse 12. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. It says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." And the Amplified says this: "Now that we have the audacity to venture or to class or even to compare ourselves with some who exalt and furnish testimonials for themselves, however, when they measure themselves with themselves and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding and behave unwisely. So the scripture is saying, 2 Corinthians 10:12, look, it starts out by saying dare not, right? Dare not. We dare not compare ourselves with ourselves or with others. That's a dangerous thing, right? A dangerous thing. All right, so that's 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 tells us to come out from among them and be ye separate. Because God knows that if our whole focus is trying to be with the crowd, that's a dangerous place to be. You know, fulfillment is not in the crowd. Fulfillment is in the communion. Fulfillment is not in the crowd. Fulfillment is in the communion, of course, the communion with God. And so our thought is to trust God no matter what the situation, because God may have you to do something that people are not in agreement with. People are going to try to get you to second guess, try to intimidate you, like when Nehemiah was building that wall, then Nehemiah 2 and Sanballat and Tobiah and them came and kept trying to convince them that there's no way you're going to finish this wall. Then if that didn't work, then they tried to say, oh, y'all trying to come against the king? Even though the king had gave them permission, and they had to know that they know that they know that what God told them to do is ultimately where their fulfillment is. I was talking to a young man's father. He's an elder out of town, and we were talking, and one of the things I was saying, I said, well, what the Lord was saying is, if we are obedient, that's it. That's where our peace is. That's where our fulfillment is. And the thing is, there's always circumstances. That's what people say. But what about my cousin? Or what about my children? Or what about my parents? Or what about? But remember, I think about Elijah, and I also think about Jesus. So Elijah comes, and he basically is putting a mantle on Elijah, and he was like, "Let me go take care of some things, and then I'll follow you." And he responded back, "Well, I don't have nothing to do with you." What he was telling him is, when this mantle is dropped on you, it was the Kamash calls it the mantle of chosenness. He said, at that point, you're being obedient to God. It doesn't make a difference. All the compliance you did up to this point has no weight or value. That was preparation, but you're in purpose now. So when you're in purpose, all your obedience has to be to God. All the things that we did to establish our significance up to that point, and most of the time that's compliance. If you read over there in Genesis 12 with Abraham, he said, leave your mother. Let's go over there real quick. Genesis 12. I have a lot of notes when I come here. I haven't gotten to them yet. Because God, oh, man, sweetheart. There's another Bible in that bag. The Bible I got up there has this little, the first four books of the Bible is all crinkled up. No, I'm going to need this too. Yeah, I'm going to need this too. Yeah, we got to. When I use that Bible, I got to bring two. So Genesis 12. Thank you. second to get there. It says, now the Lord said unto Abraham, look, get thee out of thy country. Now, so look, come on, you got to read. He didn't say city, right? He didn't say state. He told him, leave the country. He said, and from thy kindred, right? So now that's your boys, and that's the people that's in your community or your culture, right? Look, he said, and from thy father's house. So that's your immediate family, right? He says, and unto a land I will show thee. Look, he says, I'll make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless thee, curse them that curseth thee, right? It says, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And verse 4 says what? So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken. So he left familiar, but he also left something called compliance. See, up to that point, he was following all the Jewish laws. You remember, he was taking care of his father. His father was getting older. He's taking care of his father, and he was taking care of his brother's son, because that was your tradition. If your brother died, you stepped in as the parental guide, right? But God told him to leave everybody, and we knew it was including the son, because that was Lot, right? That was the nephew. He never told him to take Lot, so eventually what? He had to separate from Lot too. But God never told him to take it. But and so when he separated from Lot, you'll read it over there in Genesis 15, it says that he was rich after he separated from Lot. So sometimes we get so caught up in our significance of dotting our I's and crossing our T's, and we use sacrifice of family, friends, loved ones as our excuse to not be obedient. But God said, I would rather what? Obedience than sacrifice. We could say this, I'd rather obedience than compliance. We could say this, I would rather obedience than you actually say, well, I just want to be there for them. Well, look at it from this angle. Let's say what it takes for you to be there for, whether it's the child, whether it's the cousin, the aunt, or whatever, you have to go to the place where they're at to assist them, but you have to leave the presence of God to do it. Not only are you not helping them, but now somebody got to come help you. You're both going down. But see, it's something in our makeup, and we got to watch it, where we're almost making ourselves gods. Because our life has to hinge on obedience. That wasn't in the notes, but we had to talk about that. All right, so and last week we talked about a craving for validation of man, the craving for the validation of man. You know, starving for the significance of man. And we said the dangerous thing about when all your significance is pleasing man, and we're talking about man, but everybody in the room can relate. That's what the young people, the devil tries to get them early. He tries to get them when they're young to try to prove themselves. And if you think about it, they do fine until they try to keep up. Before they tried to keep up, they're phenomenal. As soon as they try to keep up, now all of a sudden they're trying to conform and not transform, and they can't be anything outside of their design. We were talking about this at the gym. This young man has been trying to play basketball with our team, and you could tell who he's around, like Superman around kryptonite, they bring him around them, so now he's around kryptonite, right? If you were to watch him play today, it just wasn't pretty. So he has somebody that was not better than him that destroyed him today. Why? Because he's hanging around them. It's like kryptonite. But when he was when he moves away from them and he hangs out around the men of God, he's phenomenal. And whether y'all see it or not, it's easy to see in your life when y'all hanging around the things of God. Everything's going right. If when you're not, you look like Boo Boo the Fool. But you'll think, no, I'm fine. You look stupid. I mean, you see what I'm saying? Now, again, I was focusing on the youth because they're here, just getting them ready for Friday. But I was focusing on them, But everybody in the room can relate to that. Every time you try to conform, you look like Boo Boo the Fool. Every time you try to keep up, right, you look stupid, right? So we talked about not trying to gain our validation from others, because then we take on the role of an accessory, you know, as opposed to essential. An essential person has value. An accessory is just like this watch or these glasses. These glasses sit here at the church. They only use if I need reading glasses that day. Like, they don't get to, they're not essential. They're of no value. My eyes are essential. I use them all the time. Like, they're important. I take care of these eyes. The glasses, look, how many pairs of glasses we done broke, bent? You just said the other day, babe, I done broke my glasses, stepped on them. Right? Because they're an accessory. Right? Get all tossed around. Where those glasses at? You don't say that about your eyes, do you? Right? Right? Because they're essential. So that's the difference in this search for significance. And I know that's a review. We also said that God's solution. So in other words, trying to seek significance from man, friends, peers, that we call that a counterfeit fulfillment, because it can't really fulfill you. They'll pump you up, but it won't fulfill you. Actually, I was Felipe don't know this, but we played today, so I went to lift weights. So I'm going into the locker room. So one of the guys comes up to me and said, man, we were talking about you, how you was strong-arming us today. So everybody was talking about how you were strong-arming them. So, you know, so I talked to the guy for a while. So then, now I know this. See, people that are searching for significance they would have ate this up. He's like, yeah, man, you know, I just love playing with y'all. Y'all make the game so easy. And I'm saying to myself, you haven't been playing with us. So evidently, we're not making it easy, because you haven't been listening to what we're telling you to do. But I didn't say nothing to him. I just listened to him. You made the game so easy because, you know, I've been playing with these other guys, man. And man, it's frustrating. But playing with y'all, it's easy. So I walked into where the whirlpool was, but I heard another guy that had just walked by. He said, man, stop hyping him up. Telling the guy not to hype me up. And so he ain't know I heard it, right? So when the guy came into Whirlpool, I said, yeah, man, stop hyping me up. But the whole point was, hype me up for what? Like, I'm not going to change what I'm doing. Like, we destroyed them today, so what do I need hype for? See, but we're not playing against them or for them. We're playing to glorify God. You see what I'm saying? So my significance is not in what his words say. Actually, while he was talking, I was like, I said to myself, why are you trying to pump me up? But I was like, okay, well, if you think you pumped me up, that's fine. I'll just use that to my advantage next time I play against you. But I didn't tell him that. I went away, was like, why is he going through all that? Like, he don't even believe that. You see what I'm saying? You see different when your whole goal is not, you like my shoes? How I look? Did I play well today? Or I'm not trying to put you down, son, but you remember this. So my son, he would come down the court, make a shot, and look right in the stand. See, like, man, finish the game, man. Like, how you gonna get through the game if every time you do anything, you looking up at the stands? Like, just stay focused, man. Enjoy the game. But it's all about pleasing. I used to tell my players, don't talk to nobody before the game. Don't talk to nobody during the game. They'll all be there when the game is over. I said, because everybody you talk to before the game starts is in your head. And it's like, what do you mean? I said, you're going to come down court, you're going to make a move, and you're thinking that you have a picture in your head. I wonder how they see this move. What they going, if you miss a shot, you'd be like, I wonder what they think about this shot I just missed. But if you didn't talk to them, they're not in your head, right? So you're not playing a game, you're trying to perform. That's why you got to watch. Everything is about performance. What they say, what do they think? What does God say and what does he think? That's where your significance has to be. And I'm going to tell you, when I first started playing basketball, I would have a game I score 40. The next game I score 4. You know why? It was all about playing against improving myself. When I started living for God, I was consistent. I consistently had good games because I wasn't playing against them. I didn't have to, you score me, I'm going to get you back. No, I'm just going to keep playing the game, you know, to glorify God. It's a whole nother focus. You can go ahead. Yeah, we'll make our adjustments. You're fine. Right? All right, so that's what we have to get to, a point where we have a peace in what God says, and our focus is pleasing God. So we talked about God's solution to this counterfeit fulfillment is fellowship in faith. So God's solution to this counterfeit fulfillment is what? Fellowship in faith. That's why the scripture says don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. Why? He says don't leave that, because if you leave the people of God, now you'll try to keep up with the people of the world. And they're designed to make you pay more than you need to pay to be around them. And they're designed to hold up standards that are unrealistic. See, in other words, the people of God are establishing standards to help you to be the best you. The people of the world are setting up standards that say you're only valuable if you could be like me, which you can never be. Right, so they'll try to have you keeping up as opposed to transforming up, right? And that's what's so dangerous. So that's why the scripture says don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers, because their whole thing is you're only valuable if you're keeping up with the standards that we have established, whether it's the fraternity, whether it's the teams and stuff like that. Everybody will have you keeping up. I remember, I use me because, you know, maybe I don't go through this. But I might have been sophomore in high school. So I walked into a gymnasium. I told the story before. I walked into the gymnasium. Yeah, I'm all feeling good. Time to play basketball today, right? And the guy said, man, you ain't got no calves. Huh? I ain't got no. I got to get some calves, man. Like, I wasn't even think. Before he made the statement, I wasn't even thinking about my calves. I was good. You know, I was actually having a good day. You know, man, you ain't got no calves. And I noticed throughout my high school experience, people will be trying to find a chink in the armor. But I would go for it. Like, man, so you know, I did calf raises religiously after he said I had no calves. You know, I got to get my calves up, you know. But interesting enough, we were walking from Eaton this week, and my nephew was in town. He said, your legs sure are small. I said, you know what? I never really had thick legs. I said, actually, I have high calves anyway. See, I didn't know that back then. Not high calves, I have long calves, you know, because I'm a runner, you know. By nature, I've always been able to fly, right? So that's a whole different type of a leg than, you know, the short, stocky, you know, person with short calves. You know what I'm saying? Because they're designed for something different level of explosion. That's them linebacker calves, right? I said, so, but when my nephew said it, I wasn't like, what, ain't my leg small? What am I gonna do? You know, or Keith with the big lip. Well, Keith with the big lip, because that's the lip God gave him. You see what I'm saying? My significance is not trying to keep up so I could be at peace. Well, your church doesn't do such and such. Man, well, I guess that's not what our church is supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're trying to do what God tells us to do, not trying to keep up with everybody else. So anyway, let's keep going, because, see, this is the thing. Your significance can only rest in pleasing God. Your significance should only rest in pleasing God. It's pleasing God what makes you significant. Did I please God or not? All right, so, and see, because the scripture says without faith it's impossible to please him, right? So look, if my significance, Stella, my significance is pleasing God, right? So if that's my significance, then how do I please God? Faith, right? And if you research it, that's the only thing God can help. Why would God help fear? It makes no sense. You're in fear, you believe what they can do to you, or the circumstances they presented to you, right, can do more damage to you than what God has for you. So why would God endorse that, support that, open up doors for you, and you operate in fear? But if you're in faith, it makes sense. Oh, I got to endorse that. They believe me. They trust in me, right? So just something to think about there. All right, so we have to embrace communion with God, or you know, or fellowship, you know, we're talking about embracing fellowship. It starts with the Father, being in fellowship with the Father. We find our true significance and our worth through God, not man. See, that's how, remember I told you Adam and Eve was rolling with God and they was fine. Explain to me how everything was fine and all of a sudden everything is changing in the house. Tanya, could you explain it to me? I don't get it. And I remember when my son changed up on us, he was like, something wrong with us. We the same parents. We ain't did nothing different. Okay, if we looked at both of our lives, we were rolling the exact same way we were rolling before. We looked at his life, what was different? Oh, you got a girlfriend now. But you ain't checked her out. You don't know what else she's bringing besides the smile she gave you. What other spirits are walking with her? See, you don't care about that because somebody like you. Yeah, they like you to draw you in, to embed the kryptonite, and the whole time you call yourself, you know, we spend all night talking together. And if we could look at you on video, you could see your dreams, your faith, your courage leaking all over the room, and the whole time you smiling. You think I'm cute? You like my eyes? And the whole time, your dreams, your purpose, your focus, your connection, your inheritance, your anointing, leaking all over the room. Then you walk out, she liked me. And then you wonder, what happened? What's missing? Why am I depressed? Because why they were leaking your dreams, they injected depression in you. Why they were leaking your dreams, they injected fear in you. Why they were leaking your dreams, they blinded you. They injected lust in you. So the whole time you walking around wondering, I don't know what's going on. Well, you big doofus, you opened yourself up to the wrong. The Bible says, God said, go into the promised land. Stay away from them, though. I mean, I'm paraphrasing. He didn't say those exact words. You know, he might have said it in his majesty. Stay. But y'all get the point. He's like, listen, y'all, you don't even want to be around them. You'll never see your dreams if you're around. I was looking at a movie a long time ago. It was called Sidekicks. That's what it was. It ended up being a TV show. But it was this little dude. He had to be like this high, but he was sweet at karate. Like, he was off the hook. And he's beating up grown men. And so somebody came to him and tried to give him a drink. He said, no, 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 no. He said, I can't do that because that takes away the power. He says, see, it's a little subtle thing in the movie. Listen, I wasn't even going to church when I saw that movie. But I got the point. He basically was saying, no, that's kryptonite. I won't be able to do these phenomenal feats if I take that in. Then I was watching another movie. It's called Billy, I think. This girl was fast. She was blowing away guys, everybody's high school. She'd get up there and she would hear the music, feel the rhythm, and boom, out the gate, she's gone. No one near her. Well, here comes boyfriend. And I remember she gets on the track, and every time she got on the track, she could hear the beat. She couldn't hear the music no more. She couldn't get the rhythm. She got blown away. See, we ain't thinking, so that's why I asked you, because you're a parent. Well, like we parents, right? Yeah, everything be going fine. I don't know why I'm talking about this today. Everything be going fine, and all of a sudden everything changed. But see, I'm talking about it because, yes, I know we got youth here and parents, but parents, take yourself back to when you were the youth and when things changed. Everything's going fine at the house. In my case, it was different because I came to my family. I was already a teenager. I was staying with foster parents, so I already came tripping. Right? So they ain't had no other, all they had was trip from the beginning. But think about it, everything going fine. All of a sudden things change. What's changed? It's what you're exposed to, corrupting your mind, blinding you, right? So it's the search for significance. If your significance, if you keep you locked in on what fulfills me is pleasing God or staying in God's face, you'll keep the momentum for your dreams. Everybody's not great. Because very few people can stay locked in. That's why everybody's not great. Very few people. A lot of people get distracted all the time. You know, we'll get into that here in a second. All right. So, again, it starts with finding out true significance in God. Don't get suckered like Eve did. So that's why. So remember, Eve in the garden, Satan told her, "I know God told you not to eat this fruit of obedience, right? I told you not to eat this fruit, but man, he just don't want you, your eyes to open up and you'll see you just like God." She was already just like God. So immediately he got her trying to prove, yes, I am just like God, and yes, I can eat this fruit, and I'll be fine. Once he got her into trying to prove herself, see, he tried it with Jesus, same trick. He's like, well, if you're supposed to be the Son of God, he already the Son of God. See, that's what he get. That's the trick. I'm going to get you to question yourself so you'll try to prove yourself. And as soon as you're trying to prove yourself, you just gave me the power. You're trying to prove yourself to me. Like the guy told you, you ain't got no cash. Now I'm trying to work out to prove to him I got cash. Who is he? Oh, you might see this. Maybe you don't remember. I ain't think about that. I tell them the story. I ain't think about, I see this on Facebook and be like, that bothered you? Yeah, I was a little idiot. I'm not the only one. All right, so if you notice with Jesus came down to please the Father. The Father does, he does this with us. Before we, how could I say? I have it here somewhere. So before he reveals purpose, he endorses who we are. If we're listening, before we fulfill purpose, he endorses who we are before we listen. So Jesus, before Jesus started everything, he said, "This is my son who I'm well pleased." For any miracles, before he went to the wilderness to be tested. So ahead of time, before you go through anything, I'm pleased. You might, hey, I designed you. I love you. Just trust me on this one. Then before he went on a cross in the garden, "This is my son who I'm well pleased. I want to let you know. Before you did, I'm not waiting for you to do anything. I'm going to let you know. Listen, I love you." Right? So God does that with us if we can stay locked in. But if you're not in communion with God, you won't hear him saying, "I'm pleased with you. Why are you trying to prove yourself to them? I'm pleased with you." Right? So because the scripture says he made us in his image after his likeness. He says, "I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Like right away, God is already telling you, "I know the thoughts I think toward you, thoughts of peace to bring you an expected end. I'm telling you ahead of time, I fearfully and wonderfully made you. I gave my only begotten son for you." Look, the scripture says we love God because he first loved us. So God is saying, I'm going to put myself on the line first, which is, okay, this is going to help everybody out. If you don't know this yet, measure every relationship by people that show they love you first. If you got to prove you love them, how you know they love you? If you got to spend all your money, if it's all, you got to meet conditions all the time, how you know who love you? Are you willing to find out? All these people that you go, "Yeah, I just know they love me," do they? All these incentives, you're always there for them. Are you going to give them a chance to be there for you? Are you getting somebody a chance to give you a call? They'll never have to call you because you call them all the time. I know y'all ain't trying to hear this. It's true. Do you really know who actually loves you? Oh man, that's just I feel the pain. But that's it. Like, you know, so God is saying, "I love you before you've done anything." So God said, "I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly." So the abundant life is not a life of hurdles and resistance. There's hurdles and resistance presented, but the abundance overtakes them. See, he says, the scripture says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Like, there's nothing that can stop me, basically, because God loves me and he's given me this abundant life. No weapons formed against you can prosper, can't stop the abundance. Isaiah 54:17, right? Then he says, "When the enemy comes in like a flood, I'll lift up a standard against him." So anything that comes at you, Isaiah 59:19, he says, "I got you." He says, "See, because I love you. So I've already put everything in place to make sure you are unstoppable. Just stay with me." Now, if you get pulled on trying to prove yourself to them, I can't guarantee you're going to experience abundance. So it's on you. Who you want to please? All right. So just something to think about. All right. So gay that. Okay, gay that. All right, so this is the thing. Like, I know a lot of times we get pulled out of pleasing God and into significance because we want stuff. Everybody wants stuff. We want to have stuff because stuff make you look significant. You know, I got the car, I got the house, I got this, that, and the other. I got the money. I'm on the team. I got the promotion. You know, I got the new Jordans, whatever the case may be. And we want and like stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we need God. That's the key. We want and like stuff, but we need God. See, so that's why Scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Like, all you got to do is your significance in me, you'll have everything you need. So our true worth or significance has to be in God. Value or and how to obtain it has been our goal since the beginning. I want to be valuable. How do I get value? So there's nothing wrong with that. It's just understand you get the best value in your life through God. See, again, listen, man, it ain't even about I go to church, I dot my eyes, or can I walk on water? Do I know scripture? Am I more righteous than you? Am I more holy than you? It's about communion with God. And it's about you being fulfilled. That's what coming into the house is about. That's what getting in the Word is about. So you're taking your time not to feed yourself with the Word. You don't draw closer to God. You can't see, and a blind man can easily be fooled. Easily be fooled because they can't see. Look at the dumb things you've done, and you say to yourself, like some of y'all probably still not embracing the fact that, yes, it was dumb and stupid, but look at the things you've done, and you said, and look at times you said, that's not going to happen to me again, and it happened again. Why did it happen? Because you're blind. Why are you blind? Because the interest of the Word bringeth light. It gives understanding to the simple. And so I'm not naming no names, but a person that doesn't spend a lot of time in his Word, whether they believe it or not, they're a simpleton. Well, I'm not going to go through the whole levels of intelligence again, you know, but y'all remember, you know, moron, idiot, all those different things. Those are actual levels of intelligence. And the thing is, if we stay in the Word, we can see. You see the attacks before they come. You see the deception before it happens. You don't go for the old. It's right in your face. I wasn't successful. Now I'm successful. I'm getting some props. Now I'm going to chill and go crazy. That's old. Or I'm going to attract the wrong people. I have friends. We all know the game. Okay, as soon as I get success, I'm going to attract all these people that didn't pay me no mind before I got successful. So I have a friend, you know, he's a big-time businessman. He said, man, Keith is crazy. He said, when we get to the hotels, they waiting. But they don't look like the people other people see at the hotels. These people look like they are high-class professionals. And they suck the life out of us. They destroy our marriages. And they take everything we earn. Because we're in a stupor. We drunk. We blind. He said, Keith, I know this. We've talked about this when we were young. How do I keep going falling into this trap? How? I said, I'm young. I mean, I ain't know that I need to go to church. I was like, I tell you what, man, I ain't gonna never smoke and drink. And I remember Goldsmith and Maple Avenue. I remember the exact place I was at when I said it. I was like, man, and matter of fact, I think I was in middle school. We had the school was we went from 7th to 9th, but I went there for 7th, 8th grade. We're on the way to school. I was like, man, people smoke. Why would you smoke? Why would you? Man, I ain't gonna never do that. I did both of them. You know why? Because it ain't gonna happen to me. Based on what? Not based on confidence, based on caution. The person that doesn't think it's going to happen to them is the person that ends up in the situation. Watching video, like, you're going to spend your whole night watching video, leaking your dreams, watching porn, male and female, for what? What is it doing for you? It ain't fulfilling you. That little moment of pleasure is not fulfilling. I don't know why we talking about that, baby. All right, but see, again, you can get so caught up outside of God's plan that you end up blind, and that's what affects you. You know, so yes, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be significant. Make sure you're significant in God. That's why it's kingdom work first, right? Because that's what attracts true value. Kingdom work is God, communion with God, and your covenant relationships in the kingdom. That's why he says love. All the commandments hang on two things. Love God, right, with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your brother as yourself. Every commandment in the Bible rests under those two, because it keeps you out of self, feeding self, right? So your significance has to be in God. The scripture says in Mark 16, let's go to Mark, was it Matthew 16? Let me get over there real quick. So we're talking about the significance test, because a lot of people failed it, fail test. They think their significance rests in man, when your significance should rest in God. I wasn't really looking for this, but I'm going to read this. We'll do Matthew 16. It says, okay, so this is, Jesus is telling the disciples, I'm about to roll out because I have to fulfill God's will. But they were so used to getting props and favor because of Jesus. You know, they were popular because of Jesus. So Matthew 16:22 says, then Peter took him, grabbed Jesus, and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense to me. For look, for thou savoreth not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Your whole value is what's going to please men, not God. That's why you're upset, because you think you're going to lose your props of man. And then it says, so verse 24 says, then Jesus said unto the disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life will lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall save it. See, it said, what profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? What it's saying is, the person that's so busy trying to get significance from this world and his life, that's the person that loses their life. But the person that's willing to lose their life for the sake of God is the person that saves their life, right? That's because it started off by saying you're saving the things that be of men and not of God. And so we navigate through this life and we casual with God, but we put all our effort in man. See, I got to get the money to have the nice house and the nice car. And then something in our default says, well, God understands I'm working to make money. That got to be more valuable than spending time with him. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all things being. So where's your significance and what gains your significance? See, this is the thing, like, when we get pulled out of the presence of God, which is we call sin. Sin is what? Separation from God, right? Right, so when we get pulled out of the presence of God, when we get caught in the sin, when you said this in the car, it's going to make sense. So sin doesn't change God's or our value for you. It may be changing the value you have for God and yourself, though. So again, when you sin, like, the tradition of church is this. When people are doing right, they're up front. And then when they start slipping, they start, I'm not saying that because people are sitting in the back. I'll be like, no, I'm doing right, I'm okay. That's not, y'all know what I'm trying to say. I'm saying so people start moving further in the back. I remember a guy, I knew he was going through stuff because he used to be like right in the front row, and we had a huge church, thousands of people. Then I used to see him in the back. Then I used to see him. The church was called it was called Faith Stadium. So it was designed like a stadium. So we had the risers, and you would come in, like, it's almost like when you're coming in the front doors, like you're coming into the tunnel, like you come into a stadium. So he would be sitting in like the little, it wasn't a real tunnel, but it was designed like one. And I was like, what's he doing back there? And he was like a personal assistant. I was like, why is he back there? But you could tell He wasn't the same. He started fading away. Right? But see, again, sin tells you to hide. Because sin tells you we're not going to have the same significance of you. See, what? Adam and Eve sinned. God was still looking for her. It's like, where art thou, Adam? I think I heard you yelling that earlier today, talking to the kids. Right? He said, where art thou? Right? So they thought their sin changed God's perception of them. No, it changed their perception of God. That's what's so dangerous about sin. Like, remember I said, we were the same parents. My son got into sin. He thought it changed his perception, our perception of him. No, it changed his perception of us. Because there was a point where, hey, you want me to help you with that? Now you get into self and sin. It's like, well, I don't understand why I got to do that. You see how it happens in church. People living righteous, hey, you need me to do that? I would love to do that. Then they get into sin. It's like, well, I don't understand why I got to do that. And you ain't paying me. Before you was pleasing God. Now it's like, well, I don't understand. The level of compensation I'm getting is not commensurate to the effort that I'm putting in. And you see what I'm saying? Now people just start switching up. Why? Sin clouds your perception of how you think. We talk about this a lot. It gives you an improper image of yourself. So I call it Simba syndrome. You know, where Simba was kicking it with his dad. And what? He knew he was the next king. He was a prince to be the Lion King, right? So he's like, who's Simba? All right, so with Mufasa and Simba and the Lion King. So he said, look, he walk out on the mountain. Yeah, and look at his future. This is your future kingdom, son. And not one time he go, for real? That's mine? No, he was just, you can see he's chilling like, yeah, I'm about to be king. Then when the stampede took place and his uncle scared him out to the jungle, now he out in the jungle. Now, he ran out as a cub. And, you know, I know it was only like 3 or 4 minutes, but he grew into being a lion. But he was playing around the jungle as if he was still a little cub. You know, rolling around, wrestling, falling on his back, eating bugs. You a lion, man. What you eat bugs for? Like picking up tree trunks and stuff like that? And then the monkey came and said, you're more than you become. You don't know who you are, do you? And he showed him an image of himself. 1 Corinthians 13, he showed him his reflection in a mirror. And I'm hoping today some of you start to look in the mirror. Right? I'm hoping today you start to look in the mirror. Because every once in a while, you go through a funk where you end up playing around in the jungle and you out there clouded and distracted, and somebody has to come up to you and, forgive me for this, I'm not going to do it hard, okay? And knock you upside the head, because remember, he took the stick and popped him upside the head, because sometimes you got to get snapped back into reality. Right? And then he showed him, he said, come with me. And he showed him, well, it wasn't a mirror, it was water, a reflection of himself. That was the first time he had saw he was a lion. And he still didn't see the right image. He's like, what my dad doing in the water? No, dude, that ain't your dad, that's you. You're a lion now. You ain't no little cub. Stop acting less than you are, trying to keep up with people that are supposed to be following you. That makes no sense. And it looks retarded. Underdeveloped, okay. Y'all know y'all got a little sensitivity when it comes to words. Like, what did he just call us? That's so insensitive to the people that's dealing. Study the word out, man. Underdeveloped. It does. It just doesn't wear right. I was watching that young man today, and I was just like, wow. Like, and he's having some good weeks. He's playing with us. He was getting it. And I looked at him today, and you just see such despair. I want to play professional, and I can't do nothing with this guy today. What's wrong with me? And so you don't know what's wrong because kryptonite can't be seen. Like, the effects of it can't be seen. So you something's affecting you. Like, why am I so weak? Why can't I? Why can't I get up? Why can't I read? You know, why can't I pray? I was just traveling with a team we're traveling around the country playing against other teams, the semi-pro team. And so we get to Boston, And I wasn't supposed to go. God told me not to go. So I told this story before. So I'm out there, and I remember I was like, because I'm a new Christian. There's another reason why I wasn't supposed to go, because it's super ran around kryptonite. And I was like, okay, something ain't right with me. I just need to pray. I couldn't pray. I know my go-to. I'm going to go to the Bible. I couldn't even read the Bible. I was in a hotel by myself. I was like, what's wrong with me? I ain't understand it. I understand it now. I was around kryptonite. That spirit that I allowed to jump on me was like, you ain't reading today, bruh. Or we used to say on the basketball court, you with us. Right? Remember Jesus said, Satan's coming, but he ain't got nothing in me. Like, he can't access me. Can you say the same? When Satan shows up, is there something in you? Is there some lust in you? I know y'all watch movies too, but I like the superhero movies. So, X-Men. What's the metal dude? What's the dude that can, what is it? Magneto. Yeah. So he was locked up. Thank you. He was locked up in a prison that was all glass. So the reason why he's locked up, because he couldn't do nothing. Because he needed metal. So his counterpart injected a guy with a needle of lead or iron. So the security guard walked in to give him his meal. He said, uh-oh, somebody's had a little bit too much iron or something like that, right? And he drew the iron that was in him out, created all these little iron balls and stuff like that, and shattered all the prison. And then start creating stairs to walk on in midair. Because it was in glass, and there was no bridge, so he couldn't escape. But just that it was enough inside that guard for him to draw out to wreak havoc. So that's what Satan's hoping. Is that fear? Is that fear I smell? Whoa! He's like, okay, I'm going to draw on that and wreak havoc in your life. But we go, just a little bit of something ain't going to hurt. Really? It's been destroying you. I was just watching dude is 15 and just closed a multi-million-dollar deal as a CEO. Yes. How? Focused. Not getting pulled into keeping up. Because you know he ain't keeping up because ain't nobody doing what he doing. Other young man, I think he's like 15, 16, he just graduated college. Ain't nobody doing that, so you know he ain't keeping up. Man, please, graduate college, please, get out of here. Right? So it's all focused. So again, your significance, don't let yourself get pulled into conforming or keeping up with them, because it'll give you an improper image of yourself. See, the world will limit your significance to their approval versus God's design. The world will limit your significance to their approval versus God's design. See, if your whole flow is fulfilling God's design, you good. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I've finished my course, I've run my race. My course, not their course. See, I'm not trying to keep up with nobody else. I'm not trying to run nobody else's race. I'm trying to run my race. You see the difference? And let's go to Galatians 4. Because, you know, you got to ask yourself, I ain't bothering nobody. Why are they trying to stop me? And this is why you have to have a proper image of yourself. And I was sharing this with a young man. I learned this the hard way. Because just because you don't know you gifted or don't know you anointed doesn't mean you're not. So, for example, let's say God has designed you as a gift to be a light to the world. But you're like, I'm just going to be behind the scenes. You go ahead. No. I don't need to do nothing. I'll just be behind the scenes. Because, see, I'm humble. So I stay behind the scenes. I'll just keep my light under a bushel. You know, you let your light so shine, okay? I'm just going to leave mine under here. And if you need it, I'll flick a little light out, okay? See, we think that's how we're supposed to be rolling. But that's not, no, that's not how you, see, again, everybody see you light but you. People see you great before you are. And you be like, why are they treating me like this? Why am I hating? Because they recognize this person's special. And so they treat you based on the specialness that irritates them, not based on how you perceive yourself. They treat you based on the specialness that's shining bright. See, they living in darkness. You keep showing up. Yeah, turn that light down. But you don't even see you light. You're like, what you talking about? What? Why do they keep saying, why everybody keep frowning? And because you keep exposing them. You do things without thinking about it. That has an effect on people. But if you don't see the proper way you see yourself, you won't realize that you're irritable. Not because you're irritable. What I'm saying is, because of how you see, how you process things, the way you do things naturally, it's uncomfortable. And so what they do is they'll try to tear you down before you see yourself. They'll try to tear you down before you see yourself. They'll try to tear you down before you see yourself. Galatians 4:17. It says, they zealously affect you, but not well. It says, yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. See, he says, so they work hard to have an effect on you, to get rid of you, because you're having an effect on them. Your light is making them uncomfortable. Your thinking different is bothering them. See, because if you come around and you thinking different, you're comfortable with being you, what are you telling me? I need to be comfortable with being me. But I done worked hard to conform to everybody. But every time I see you, you remind me of the freedom and the liberty of being in my design. When you're not around, I'm cool with conformity. Every time you show up, and I remember this. First, I got, man, you think you know everything. Now, before the statement was made, I wasn't talking about everything. I was just talking, I had this rule, only talk about what you know. So of course it's gonna sound like when I'm talking, I know what I'm talking about, because I only open my mouth if I know what I'm talking about. If I don't know what I'm talking about, I just don't say nothing. So it was that. So I remember my best friend, now mind you, we were high school friends, and I got him a job in upstate New York. So it's a transparent environment, because I teach transparency. I taught normative culture groups, positive peer culture groups. So it's all about rap sessions with juveniles that was in corrections. So of course we talking one day in the gym. He says, you know what? I never liked you when we was growing up. Now mind you, this was my best friend. And so I'm looking at him like, really? Because I can't see no reason why. Because I was like, oh, so you didn't like the fact, okay, so we lived Newark, New Jersey in the hood, two different spectrums. If you see this, it's a true story. So the rule is, if it's time to go home, you walk each other halfway, and then you both what? You go back. You're walking the same distance home. But I'm the same guy I am now. No, I'll walk you. I would always walk this dude all the way home. But that means I got to walk what? A further distance to get back home. When it was, so let's say I walked him all the way to the corner which he lived, he just had to walk down the street. When it was his turn, coming from his house to walk me home, he would walk to that same corner. Man, I'm tired, man. I was like, nah, you good, man. You good, man. I'll take it from here. You good. This person who, you need money here. I'll give it back to you Friday. I never got it back. It accumulated for years. One year, he took it. No, he gave it to me. I saw him. I was coming home from college. He said, man, here's the money I owe you. This was at 10 o'clock a.m. By 2 o'clock p.m., yo, could I borrow that money that I just gave you? I said, tell you what, here, take it. I don't want it back. But when we start working together, this same person that I went out my way for, compliance, search for significance, I ain't even like you. Because it just seemed like everything went right. Now, you had the middle-class family. You want it for nothing. I'm struggling. I had to go pack bags in the supermarket just to get a pair of sneakers to play in. But you got all the latest everything. You didn't like me. So why didn't he? Because there's one thing that I probably couldn't help being. Me. I didn't like doing what everybody did. I just, not because I thought I was better. I was just like, this don't make sense. I would always be thinking it through like, so we driving around the city that we live in, and we done spent all this gas, and I'm a math guy, so I calculate, okay, so we spent, let's say, an hour and a half driving around the city. If we calculate the hour and a half, the gas, and the miles, we probably could have went to another city and came back. I already know the city I live in. Nah, I'm good, man. I'm staying in the house. They come to me on my birthday. Come on, man, we gonna go. What we gonna do? We're gonna just drive around the city. I know the city already. Man, you always trying to spoil something. No, I'm not trying to spoil something. I don't want to drive around college. You antisocial. So I play college basketball. We sit around talking. You're talking about other basketball players that I'm expecting to play against one day. So I'll be like, y'all, I'm out, man. I'm going to the room. I go watch videos or something. Man, you antisocial. And they weren't being negative. They'd be like, come on, Keith, man. Just hang out. I said, man, I just can't be sitting around talking about other people that I may play against. What are we doing? But I got heat. I return to my family. I know all y'all getting this on film, but I got to teach the people. Right? It's perspective. It's my perspective. I could be wrong. All right. So it was like, so when I came, everybody was conforming to how my family flows. Well, I didn't grow up with my family, so of course I'm thinking totally different. And I just be like, nah, that why are we doing that? You got a smart mouth, don't you? Well, I don't know. I'm not trying to be smart. I was just asking a question. That doesn't make sense to me. Well, I think if we just did this, because see, I'm a puzzle guy. I solve problems. So I just was like, oh no, we could do this over here. But I'm the 14-year-old. I'm not supposed to figure that out. You in their culture, you can figure it out at this age. But it's easy for me. It's like, no, we just do this over here. I think I'm helping. See, you got a smart mouth. You little smart mouth, shut up. Right? Well, what was it? Difference. And it got to a point, this is where I blew it, where I was like, well, maybe I'm tripping. I just roll like them. And so I start dumbing down the light. So when I got in the arenas, this person may not be good at what they're doing. I actually could do it better, but so they wouldn't be bothered by me, I would try to give them my information and empower them. Oh, no, let such and such do it. They're real good at doing such and such. I'd be like, cool, so maybe now nobody gonna be mad because I'm not trying to pump myself up. Growing in ministry, I would, when it was time for me to preach, if all y'all preached before me, because I also have good recall, I would use a piece of everything everybody in this room shared. And then I would share a little bit of what I had to share, because you only got a certain amount of time, like an hour. And I got to my office one day, Holy Spirit was like, what was that? I said, well, you know, I was just teaching a sermon. He said, if I wanted them to preach, I'd have gave them the mic. You did that because you were worried that if you shined your light bright, people would be uncomfortable and you didn't want to deal with the heat. He said, you better turn that light up. Get it from under the bushel and put it on full blast. Walk in liberty and be free. Your significance is pleasing me, and you don't please me by dousing the light. Dumbing yourself down. Who do you think you is? See, your significance is you don't want them to feel bad. See, you know, when y'all was watching all those soap operas, y'all, I used to watch soap operas in college too. But we watched soap operas. What's the whole story of the soap opera? Well, no, we don't want to tell them because Tad's going to be hurt. 4 years later, yeah, he almost found out. 10 more years later, and 3 kids, grandchildren, I think the grandchild discovered the lie. But what was it all about? Well, we don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Is your significance in pleasing God? Because God talks about the truth. Speak the truth in love. Embrace the truth. What are we doing? Like, we're losing sight of what true value is. And that's why we get on people's nerves. Well, we're always trying to jump out and get attention, because we're getting on people's nerves because we're not just trying to please God. We're trying to please man. And so we have to... went all over the place. We have to pass this significance test. And I will end with this here, because I don't know. Last I saw was like 5 minutes left. All right, so we'll end with avoid the success trap. Avoid the success trap. Remember, we talked about life is about fulfillment and not success. And so you can get caught up in performance. Scripture says Jesus tried to gain no reputation for himself. Philippians 2, you read through 2 through 9. And the scripture says in 1 Peter 5, be clothed with humility. Be clothed. So I'm wearing humility. Like right now you see the clothes on me, I'm wearing humility like that. And so, because we have this mechanism to try to block being uncomfortable and pain and to gain significance. And we have our own, you know how God has a solution for sickness and disease. Anybody know what it is? You said prayer? All right. See, you might not want to jump out too fast because that's not what I was going to say. No, I'm just playing. It's healing. Prayer leads to healing. So I'll give you an assist on that. You know, yeah, add that to my stats. Right. So it's called healing. But man has a solution to pain, sickness, and disease too. Right? Right? Medications, right? And things of that nature. So God has a solution for pain and significance. But man has one. Man is pleasing him, being a man pleaser. So when you feel the lack of significance, the tendency is to thirst to please man. I must meet their standards in order to feel good about myself. But God's solution is I'll meet my standards to feel good about myself. And the thing is, with man's standards, you can never please them. Like, you know, some of y'all work on some very interesting jobs, right? And so they have, because you're in sales. So they have, okay, this is the, you meet this quota, you get bonuses, this, that, and the other. But you notice, like, if you're consistent, let's say you have to close 15 deals a week. I just throw it out there. All right, so you start closing 15 deals a week. Well, now that becomes the standard. So now you only get value if you close 25 deals. Then once you start doing that, because I watched my wife was in mortgages and she had to process loans. So they had, I think one time y'all had, because they was working together this time. So I think the goal was, I don't know, I'm just going to say 15 closings, or I'm just going to say 15. And then you get both. Well, and then it was like 30. But every time a certain standard was reached, it was like they would add. I said, babe, I said, you know you ain't going to please them. Like, it ain't no such thing as finally they're happy. No. Every time you meet a standard, they create a new one. Right? And that's what's so dangerous. You can never please man. And see, so the consequence of pleasing man is you'll get caught up in the fear of failure. The fear of failure. And who said this? Oh, I was talking to Kelly McClure. And he was watching an interview, I think, of the guy supposed to be number one draft choice. And he said, I've learned how to, what did he say? He might have said love failure. You know, the phrase might not have been a good confession, but I knew what he meant. And what he was saying is, he says, what's helped me to get to this level, he's going to be the number one draft choice in the NBA, so he's about to be a multimillionaire. He says, what's helped me is to learn how to use failure as my friend. Because every time I fail, I learn something. But the person that's fearing failure, they don't take no risks. They don't take no chances. And they don't learn nothing. They only show up in safe places. But he says, I've learned from failure. And I have a philosophy, even as I've grown up and I've been under people, supervisors, managers, leaders, coaches. I was like, allow me to at least do it once. So if I make a mistake once, you can't even hurt my feelings. Like, I can't believe you did that wrong. I was like, yeah, because I didn't know what I was doing. I said, now if I do it twice, come talk to me. I used to tell all my managers that. Yeah, they look at me, Keith, what was that? That was a mistake. And they look at me, because they thought I didn't care, but I did. It's like, Well, Keith, yeah, because they was trying to find a chink in my armor. So, Keith, I can't believe you did that. I said, I can believe I did it because I never did it before. Well, you need to get that together. I said, listen, allow me to at least make the mistake more than once. If I do it again, hey, you have permission to unload your clip on me. I said, but I'm not going to make the mistake twice because I just learned from the first time. I said, I've never done this before. This is a new situation. But mistakes are a wonderful thing in life. Everything we ever share is because we've made mistakes. It's drawn out a tremendous amount of wisdom because you got to find out how not to make the mistake again, Stella. The challenge is when you excuse the mistake, run from the mistake, hide from the mistake, you know, pretend it doesn't exist. You don't need wisdom for that. So guess what? You're going to do it again. You're not going to learn from it. And so that's the benefit. You don't have to get caught up in fair failure. You don't have to get caught up in perfectionism. See, when I'm trying to please man, the only way man is pleased is if I'm perfect. We were playing in a game the other day, and a young man came to the sidelines. He said, man, we're missing shots. And I was sitting there going, no kidding. Like, as opposed to what? I don't know a basketball player ever that's not missed shots. I'm watching these dudes just play, they get paid 60, some of them get paid 100 million. They miss more shots than I do. I didn't say I was better or worse than them. What I'm saying is, they miss more shots than I do. They get 100 million. They're in a slump right now. Everybody miss shots. Terrell plays baseball. Do y'all know what a batting average is? So the amount of times you come up and you get hits versus outs, right? So if you go 1 for 4, that means you came up 4 times and you only got on base the 1 time. So y'all might not, I don't know, I always look at stuff like that. You know a good batting average is considered what, 300? You know that's 30%? In anything else in life, you failed. If you're in school, 30%, that's below an F. But in baseball, man, he's a baller. He's batting 300. And so they've set the standard so low. See, but look, 30%, that means every 10 times at bats, you only get hits 3 times. Put that in your life then. If that's the standard, you don't see them going. People getting, what was it, Rodriguez? Where he get like $125 million on his contract? He got $125 million for batting 300 or barely 300. $125 million for 30%. And we walk around depressed when we do 30%. You see what I'm saying? It's like relative. I've seen guys go through half of a season and miss everything. And the second half of the season, they start hitting. People don't forget all about the other season. And the second half of the season, they give them $1 million contract, and they go into the next season, they'll make no shots. They don't take their money back. You see what I'm saying? Like, what our significance is weird. Like, how we look, how we process things is weird. So you can't get into perfectionism. And it's not about success, it's about fulfillment. And because if it's about success, you'll manipulate others just to achieve a success. And that's dangerous, right? You'll withdraw yourself from taking any, well, I don't want to use risk, I'll say for leaps, taking any leaps. You won't take any leaps because there's a chance you may fail. We wouldn't even have a light bulb. Dude failed 1,000 times. 1,000 times. I just saw something the other day. The guy, he's making millions, but oh, I remember the windshield wipers on the lights. Well, they don't do them too much anymore. But the guy that invented that, he had went to all these dealerships and they turned them down. Then finally, one said, I'll give you $30,000. See, most people would have been turned down all that time would have just took the $30,000. But the fact that somebody was willing to give him $30,000, he said it's worth something. He ended up getting millions. But he was rejected. Colonel Sanders, rejected. A recipe for chicken, man, you crazy. How crazy is he now? At 60-something years old. You see what I'm saying? Like, so we try to take this path of least resistance, but that's because we're trying to please men. Just try to please God. Your whole goal is to please God, not to please men. All right, so I'll give you this last thing here. This is how you can examine yourself if you're dealing with a fear of failure. Do you avoid participating in fellowship? See, because if you're not around people, you don't have to worry about dotting your I's and crossing your T's. Do you get nervous and anxious if the possibility of failure is near? Do you worry for everything? Do you have unexplained anxiety? Are you a perfectionist? All this will be on the CD because I got to close out here. All right, so are you compelled to justify your mistakes? Are you limited to staying only in a certain area where you feel you can succeed? So you almost stay in that area so you could belittle everybody else so you feel significant. But you don't venture outside of that because then you have to make mistakes to learn. You just try to box everybody into your worldview. Do you become depressed when you fail? Are you angry with people you feel incompetent around? So you don't feel like you know as much around them, but you get angry with them, like they tripping. You think you know everything. Is it, do they think they know everything, or you haven't worked to know more? Right? And are you self-critical. I'll just throw that out of that, because what's the word? Yeah. No, that's not it. That's close. No, what's the word? One of y'all know it. Not defecating. Okay, minister. Putting yourself down. How about that? Yeah, are you putting yourself down? All right, so that's the sign. So we're in there. Next week we'll get into the blame game. Or accountability avoidance. But that's enough. I took a little extra time because we really need to get this significance thing down for the next levels God has taken us to. All right, so let's start with the people online.